Well, welcome back to another episode of Christ in Prophecy. I'm Nathan Jones, Internet Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and we want to welcome you to Christ in Prophecy Radio. Now, most Jewish people are united by their heritage and tradition, though not their faith. Israel remains a secular nation. 54% of Israeli Jews see themselves as non-religious. And even in the United States, almost 30% of Jews do not even believe in God. But just because many Jews have abandoned their faith in God does not mean that God has abandoned His promises to them. Tim?
You know, that's exactly right. Despite what some people claim, God's involvement with Israel did not end with Jesus' first coming 2,000 years ago. Even though the Jewish people have been displaced and scattered, in the Bible, Ezekiel foretold of their return, declaring God's promise, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. I am not doing this for your sake." In other words, God made it clear that He did this for Israel so that the nations will know that He is the Lord. God has honored His promises and kept His covenants, not because of Jewish faithfulness, but because He is God and because He is faithful. Some Christians today minimize the importance of Israel in modern faith. But if you read Scripture, it's clear Israel is one of the most influential signs in the end times. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and we are glad that you could join us today as Nathan and I will continue our current event series about Israel.
Well, last week we began by looking at why God chose Israel. We described in depth how God used the nation of Israel to demonstrate His authority, give the moral law, reveal Himself to the world, show His discipline, and to bless all the nations through Jesus. Today, our discussion is going to look at Israel in Bible prophecy, both past, present, and future. We'll look at prophecies about Israel that date back more than 4,000 years. We'll show you which prophecies have been fulfilled, and we'll reveal which future prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. So, to find out, stay with us. We're going to get started in just a moment.
When you scroll through the daily news, you almost always hear bad news. It's easy to forget that there's anything good happening in the world today. But here at Christ in Prophecy, we want to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is returning soon. So swipe away the endless bad news and open up our free online Lamplighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. In the Lamplighter magazine, we explain why the nations are raging against each other in war, what's really happening in culture, and why you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in email, print, and downloadable formats. Sign up today at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. We're talking today about Israel in the past, present, and future. And let's start by looking to the past, Nathan, to see how God has revealed His prophetic plan through His chosen people.
All right, Tim. Well, let's go back almost 4,000 years ago, where God made a promise to Abraham. We can read in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now, the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed."
You know, that's a tremendous promise that we have seen fulfilled down through the ages, not just 4,000 years ago, but as late as this last century and before our very eyes, that God indeed gave the Jewish people land. There's much discussion today about who owns Palestine. Well, of course, even that name only harkens back to the period of the Romans when they changed the land of Judah or Judea to rename it Palestine after the hated foes of Israel from antiquity. And so that's where people get the word Palestine today. But God said, "This is your land. I'm giving it to you, Abram, and your descendants." And He reiterated that promise to Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob, that it was their land. He also promised that they would become a great nation, numerous in number.
That's amazing part about Abraham, because he and his wife Sarah were quite old, and so they were promised that they would have a great lineage, and they're looking around and they have no children. Well, I believe the angel of the Lord came by and told him about having a son that made that promise. Well, Abraham and Sarah got a little ahead of themselves. They took Hagar and created Ishmael, and Ishmael became the forefathers of all the Arabs today. Folks, there's about 460 million Arabs in the world today. So not only has the Lord blessed Abraham greatly through his lineage, through Ishmael, but then the Jewish people too. There's about 14 to 17 million Jews today, not many, but this is a huge amount of people to think about have descended from one man.
It certainly is. And we also know that God promised that he would not only bless Abraham, but he would bless his descendants. And we have seen that. To this day, what other people group beside the Jewish people can trace their lineage all the way back to antiquity? We mentioned the Romans a moment ago. Have you met a Roman lately, Nathan?
Nope. Maybe an Italian, but that's about as close as you can get to it.
There's nobody who claims to be a Roman today. I've not met any Chaldeans. I've not met any Babylonians. Some of these ancient empires have disappeared from the world scene, but the Jewish people are still here, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And indeed, they have been a blessing for all the nations of the earth. We discussed that last week in the various ways God has used them as a conduit of blessing, as a demonstration of relationship, and most importantly, as the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so, just about 2,000 years ago, Jesus came on the scene in fulfillment of all those ancient prophecies.
That's a very important point you bring up, Tim, is the fact that this what we call here the Abrahamic covenant is a blessing to Abraham and his children, and we've seen the Arabs be blessed. But it wasn't meant to go through Ishmael. It was meant to go through his son Isaac, his son Jacob, and then their sons. So we know that this Abrahamic covenant is meant for the Jewish people alone, not all of Abraham's descendants.
Certainly is. And as Gentile believers, we can testify, you and I and anybody who's followed after Christ, that we are the beneficiary of God's enduring promise to Abraham to bless all the nations through Israel. And so we can look now and see that God did discipline the Jewish people, obviously in a fulfillment of many prophecies we'll touch on, but there are four end-time prophecies concerning Israel that were fulfilled even before the 20th century began. What are some of those prophecies that pointed to the dispersion of the Jewish people?
Well, as Moses was getting down to the end of his term, he had this great message in Deuteronomy 28, which he gave the Jewish people. He said, hey, if you remain faithful, the Lord's going to bless you. But if you become faithless, then the Lord is going to disperse you out of the land, this land covenant that he made with the Jewish people, which technically the full land goes from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River. So it covers what today is Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and all. The Jewish people have never had that kind of land, although they will in the millennial kingdom. So the dispersion of the Jewish people happened not once, but twice because of faithlessness. But the land covenant always promised that once faith came back, the Jewish people would be regathered to the land again. And so while they were out, a second prophecy came, right, Tim, about how they'd be persecuted.
Exactly. Moses told them that while you are dispersed around the world, you will be persecuted. You will give up hope, and that has been fulfilled even in this last century during the Holocaust. Many Jews gave up hope. Many of them died not just by the pogroms of the Nazis, not just in Russian pogroms as well, but out of a loss of hope. And so the desolation of the Jewish homeland occurred while the Jews were dispersed, the worldwide persecution left to a sense of hopelessness, and yet God also preserved the Jewish people. So four prophecies: the dispersion of the Jews, the worldwide persecution of the Jews, the desolation of the homeland, the land of Israel, and the preservation of the Jewish people.
So while the Jewish people don't yet accept Jesus as the Messiah, and one day they will, Jewish people still feature prominently in Bible prophecy. You can find them in the past prophecies, present prophecies, and future as well.
You know, and that's exactly right. We know that many Jews do not yet acknowledge Jesus as Messiah, but the Bible says they will when they come to the end of themselves. So God's involvement with Israel did not end with the coming of the Messiah 2,000 years ago. Satan would like us to believe that. Many replacement theologians are convinced of that, but God honored his promises in the past and kept his covenants not because of Jewish faithfulness, but because he is God, and he will continue to do so throughout time. Well, coming up, we will show you how God is fulfilling Bible prophecy through Israel right now and why it matters to your life today. But first, we're going to take a look at current events and give you a biblical perspective in a segment we call What's Really Going On.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Well, folks, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. The question is, what's really going on in the world? Tim, you and I have noticed how much the world seems to be so anti-Semitic all of a sudden. as if like this veil was ripped off of society, the veneer of culture, leaving people just crazed about the Jewish people. But that's not always been the case, right? Where it seemed we have kind of a peaceful time post-World War II where the Jewish people were somewhat respected in the world. It seems like when we go throughout church history, church of all things, the church has been very anti-Semitic.
You know, you use the right word or phrase there, Nathan. You said a veil has been removed. The veil was masking what really was evident below the surface.
Yes.
Too often, below the surface, there's been great anti-Semitism. I think Theodore Herzl saw it in France. There was a famous case over a century ago where a Jewish man who had been totally integrated into French society, serving in the military, was falsely accused of treason. And what Herzl witnessed was not just people's animosity toward the act of treason, but them coming out and shouting, "Death to the Jews." I mean, this in a Western nation that was supposedly enlightened, and Herzl realized no matter how acclimated Jews are around the world, they will always be out of place until they find their own homeland. But we can see that replacement theology has been a scourge from the early days of the church, when Gentile church leaders began to turn against the Jewish people. Why? Well, we can rationalize that it was because the Jews did not accept and embrace Jesus Christ, and so some of these Gentile church fathers resented the Jews for that fact, but Satan fed that seed of resentment and bitterness and turned it into great anti-Semitism to his own end. And that has happened, again, as you said, down through the church age. I'll give you an example or two. In the earliest years of the church, literally within a century after Christ, Ignatius of Antioch said, "Those who partake in the Passover," meaning Jews, "are partakers with those who killed Jesus." Justin Martyr, in just the second century, claimed that God's covenant with Israel was no longer valid and that the Gentiles had replaced the Jewish people. Irenaeus, who is recognized as a well-respected church father, said the house of Jacob and the people of Israel are disinherited from the grace of God. St. Jerome said that the Jews were like serpents wearing the image of Judas, of course, he who betrayed Christ. We could go on and on. Nathan, what are some more modern examples?
Yeah, it's strange that the church started out as being all Jewish, but very quickly as Gentiles were added, the Jewish people were kicked out. And the persecution of the Jewish people over the centuries, especially through the Middle Ages, through the Crusades and all, was so horrific, the Jewish people learned to fear Christians and hate the God of Christianity, Jesus Christ, who they did not see as the Son of God. We even go as far as Martin Luther, one of the founders of the Protestant Reformation. In 1543, he wrote a pamphlet entitled "Concerning the Jews and Their Lies." This is what Martin Luther called the Jews: a miserable and accursed people, stupid fools, miserable, blind, and senseless, thieves and robbers, and so on and so on. And this is what he recommended: their houses should be destroyed, their Talmudic writings should be confiscated, their rabbis should be forbidden to teach, their money taken from them, and they be compelled into forced labor. Again and again, Martin Luther, who is the founder of Lutheranism and Protestantism, was a violent anti-Semitic, and Nazi Germany picked up on Luther's teaching. Matter of fact, many of the Nazis would say that they were just following what Martin Luther taught.
You know, we could go on and on about the source of anti-Semitism and it's multiplying within the church. We can speak to St. Augustine, who was a brilliant theologian in his day, and we obviously hearken to many of the things that he pointed out about the truths of Scripture, but he too turned against the Jews. It reminds me of Muhammad, who at one point thought the Jews would embrace his new religion because he'd blended in some of their original Jewish faith and Christian faith, and when the Jews didn't, he turned against them. That's exactly what happened with Martin Luther. Martin Luther thought that because he had advocated for the reform of the church, then the Jews would finally come to their senses and embrace Christ. But they didn't. There had been too much built-up animosity and mistrust, and so when they did not turn to Protestantism, Martin Luther turned on them. You know, today, Nathan, there are many in the church who have adopted, even in a very subtle way, this anti-Semitism, and tragically, to the Jewish perception, the nations, the peoples who have persecuted them the worst are not the Muslims down through the ages, they are Christian nations. To the Jew, Nazi Germany was a Christian nation. Poland and Russia were Christian nations. The persecution that they have endured and suffered has come at the hands primarily of Christians until just very recent years.
I mean, what a tragic story in the church age. Romans 3, though, we got to look back where Paul asserts point blank that the rejection of Jesus has not nullified God's faithfulness to the promises he made them. He says, what advantage has the Jew? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God. Will it? Well, the church might say yes, but Paul says, may it never be. Rather, let God be found true and every man be found a liar. Jesus taught his followers to watch for the signs of the times, but only 2% of churches teach Bible prophecy. At Lamb and Lion Ministries, our team of scholars and evangelists travel across the country to share their insights into Bible prophecy. To bring solid teaching about Bible prophecy to your community, invite us to come and speak at your church. We want to help Christians understand what's really happening in the world from a biblical perspective. To book a speaker, get in touch with us at ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome back again to Christ in Prophecy. You know, we just spoke about some of the anti-Semitism that's been evident down through the ages, and tragically, Nathan, even in the church. Our founder, Dr. David Reagan, loved to teach about Bible prophecy and was often asked to speak about Israel, but he was also asked about what it would be like to live in biblical times, to which he would reply, we do live in biblical times. Open your eyes. Obviously, look at what's happening in Israel today, and you can see Bible prophecy coming to pass before our eyes. The signs of Israel are happening in our lifetime, and we need to pay attention because they are pointing us to the soon return of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Luke 21:28 that when these signs begin to happen, we should straighten up and lift up your heads because our redemption is drawing near. So let's jump back into Bible prophecy to see how it is being revealed today.
All right, so we talked about prophecies that were fulfilled in the past. We are now going to move to the present. And folks, we are just barely touching the surface here. There are so many prophecies. It'd be show after show after show if we'd record them. But I want to show you one of the most significant prophecies, which you can find in Isaiah 11. And it's frequently repeated prophecy that the Jewish people one day would be regathered from the four corners of the earth. And when it says four corners, it means, you know, the entire earth, the four points of the compass. And Isaiah 11 says not just the first time, it says a second time. So we're not talking about the return from Babylon. We're returning after the Romans dispersed the Jewish people in 70 AD, that one day they would return. And folks, that has happened in our day and age.
It certainly has. As a matter of fact, it's happened just in this last 100 to 150 years that the Jewish people began to come back. You know, people often ask, why would they be motivated to come back? And my answer is, well, originally they were not. Very few Jews had any desire to go back to that God-forsaken land in the Middle East. Instead, they were very comfortable in places like Germany and Poland and Russia. So God used the conflagration, the horrors of the Holocaust, to motivate the Jewish people. Nathan, I think even today he is waking some Jews in the West up to the fact that they are not safe even here. But we saw that from the late 1800s, the Zionist movement began to draw Jews back to Israel from the diaspora, the dispersion around the world. And of course, that trickle became a relative flood after World War II when Jews returned to Israel in large numbers.
And the prophet Ezekiel was given a very colorful prophecy where in chapters 36 and 37, the Lord showed him a valley of dry bones, and the Lord asked him, will these bones come to life? And Ezekiel very politically says, well, you know, Lord. And it sees this vision of all these dead bones coming back to life again. And what he was showing him is that Israel one day, though a dead nation dispersed to the world, would one day reform and become a nation again. Now, Tim, we've never seen that happen in human history. The Iroquois nations will not return. Have we seen a Mayan or an Aztec or a Hittite today? No, but the nation of the Bible, the promised nation, is back in the land. So that leads us up to the next prophecy after that, which is Ezekiel 38 and 39, where the Islamic world, the nations of the Islamic world in Russia, will come against Israel. And as a result, when God steps in and defends Israel, then the Jewish people will return to him, though not necessarily Jesus Christ. So we're in that chapter 36 and 37 phase, the present prophecy, but it points to a future prophecy, which we'll get in shortly.
It surely does. You know, so many prophecies, as you said, Nathan, we can't hit them all, but we just want to touch the the highlights. And so God did regather the Jewish people. He said this end-time regathering would be even more miraculous than the deliverance from captivity in Egypt. Mm. And to this day, the Jews celebrate that deliverance, and they don't always recognize that the miracle of their regathering is even greater. But God also promised that once they were regathered, He would reestablish them as a nation. And that happened just 76 years ago on May 14th in 1948, fulfilling God's ancient promises. He also said that the land itself would experience a miracle of reclamation. And we have seen that with our own eyes. Nathan, you and I have traveled, and indeed this God-forsaken, dry, dusty, dried up, desolate land, I've used dried twice, has become like the Garden of Eden before our eyes. We can see it when we travel to Israel.
I don't think people realize how amazing it is to go to Israel and see fruit trees and flowers everywhere, because the Romans, when they attacked Israel in 70 AD and destroyed it and dispersed the people, basically deforested the entire country in their efforts. And later, as different empires controlled Israel, the Ottomans actually taxed people for the trees they had, so nobody planted trees. Well, when you take all the foliage out, the land becomes a desert and nobody wants to live there. Mark Twain, in his Innocence Abroad back in the 1860s, traveled to what was then known as Palestine. And as he traveled through the land, he said for 3 days they didn't come across another person. And yet today, when the Jewish people started coming back in the late 1800s, they bought the land from the Arabs at exorbitant prices. And then when they were finally given on November of 1917, Resolution 181, the UN gave them the right to form a nation again. And they then brought that nation, that land, back to life again. A true miracle.
A true miracle. One of the things that I rejoice over is what happened within my lifetime, and that was God's promise that the Jews would again possess. They would have occupation of their ancient capital, Jerusalem.
Oh,
and that happened at the Six-Day War in
1967.
He also promised prophecies that we still await fulfillment of, and that is that the world's attention will be focused on Israel in the last days. Well, we're seeing that right now.
Absolutely.
But he also said that he would bring the whole world against Israel, not because he hates them, but because he loves them, and he's going to demonstrate they don't need allies. They only need him, the true and living God. And Nathan, we're seeing that as well.
Yes, the Jewish people have definitely need to return to the Lord, and that's what he's doing. He's amping up the pressure of the world to bring them back into the land and then back into a covenant relationship with him. Well, folks, we're so glad that you could join us today on Christ in Prophecy Radio. Next week, we're going to look at the relationship between Israel and America, an issue, folks, you know, is making major headlines in our world today. But when we close, Tim's going to leave us with a great word of encouragement. But first, I'd like to introduce you to a book that's going to help you understand Israel in Bible prophecy better. It's a book called Israel in Bible Prophecy, Past, Present, and Future, and was written by our founder and director, Dr. David Reagan. If you want to know why Israel is such an important sign of the end time, people call it God's prophetic time clock, then you want to read this book, Israel in Bible Prophecy. It has all the prophecies Israel's fulfilled in the past, in the present, and in the future, more than Tim and I could have possibly covered today. You can go to our website at christinprophecy.org or visit Amazon, where we have a wealth of books that you can get both in print and in ebooks. So check it out, Israel in Bible Prophecy.
How does Israel fit into the Christian gospel message today? Well, let me make that a personal question to you. How does Israel fit into your theology today? Do you still bless those who are part of God's family of Israel? Do you bless and pray for the Jewish people and the priests of Jerusalem? You know, some Christians would like to claim all the promises given to Israel for themselves. But as I challenged a young man one time, I said, read Ezekiel 36, not just Ezekiel 37, where God promises to the mountains of Israel that they will again be inhabited by His people, Israel. I asked this young Christian man if he had a desire to go back and live on the mountains of Israel. And he said, no, of course not. And I said, that's right, because you are a Gentile. But yet God has placed deep within the Jewish heart a desire to go back to the land of Israel, because that is a prophetic promise of God, and He will fulfill all His promises to the Jews. Let me ask you one other question. Do you pray for the Jews in general? Or do you ask God, Lord, put it on my heart to pray for one particular Jew? I have a dear friend in Israel who came to America to seek his fortune and ended up meeting a Christian man who had been praying every day for 20 years, Lord, send me a Jew. He met this brash, young, arrogant Israeli and said, Lord, send me a different Jew. This isn't the right one. But that was the one the Lord had sent. And so, faithful to his prayer, this middle-aged man shared with this young Israeli the gospel. And this Jewish man was changed forever. He is now an evangelist in his own right. I hope you, too, will pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I hope you will recognize that all of God's promises to Israel are yes and amen, and will be fulfilled in the fullness of time. But I hope that you will seek a Jew that you can bless. Don't wait till the end, when Scripture says 10 Gentiles will grab the garment of a Jew and say, "Let us go with you, for we hear the Lord is with you." Seek a Jew today and say, "I want to share the Jewish Messiah, because he has come for you, a Jew, and for me, a Gentile." I pray that you will also be looking forward to the soon coming of our great God and Savior, our Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. Godspeed.